now.
It's back to Refilwem Pakanyane.
1702.
So it's that time of the morning on a Saturday when we talk cars and motoring with our resident car enthusiast, Spike Ballantyne. He is, of course, the host of Eat, Sleep, Drive, Repeat, that podcast. And he's going to bring us the latest news, or going to give us news on the latest version of one of South Africa's favorite cars, the Golf GTI Club Sport. And then, of course, the cars.co.za Consumer Awards finalist news. And he'll wrap it all up by reviewing the Volkswagen Caddy. Good morning, Spike. I trust you well. Thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning, Rafael. I'm well. How are you?
I am fantastic. Let's start off with the Volkswagen revealing what they call a spicy new GTI Club Sport. What's happening there?
Yeah. So there was a lot of excitement about the Golf 8 GTI Club Sport, which is basically the new king of GTIs that Volkswagen unveiled internationally this week. So basically, this is GTI is a South African favorite. Everybody loves a GTI. This is a more potent version of that car, and it is the Golf 8, which is the new Golf, which is out soon in this country. So, yeah, it's a same 2-litre four-cylinder motor, but it puts out 221 kilowatts and 400 meters. So it's a lot of power going through the front wheels. It's a front-wheel drive car. So to help with delivering that power effectively, Volkswagen updated their vehicle dynamics manager, mm-hmm. which basically means there's some new electronics that help control the XDS electronic diff system. It all helps with traction and better cornering for the Club Sport.
Okay. So here's a question that, and you've mentioned this a few times, which is delivering that added power or that extra power. We were having a chat off air with my producer, and he was wondering, right, with all these new iterations of the Golf, for instance, a friend of his was saying, well, after the R32, I have not been impressed with Golfs, right? So that's his firm favorite. But after all these, and with all these different iterations, what are we still looking for as consumers? Like, what do we want? More power to do what with?
That's the thing, and this is an age-old question. It's, you know, what do we do with all this power? To a certain extent, you can understand it in countries like Germany, when there's an unrestricted autobahn, mm-hmm. where you can, you know, there's no speed limiter, you can drive as fast as you like. I've never understood personally, you know, this need for power. You know, in this country specifically. So, for example, Mercedes-Benz S65, which is a V12 twin turbo, it is phenomenally powerful. And I have to smile every time I see one, because there's no way you could operate that car to anywhere near its potential in South Africa, legally, I'm talking about.
Yep.
Of course, you can do 200 on the highway, but do you want a chance? I think the difference with these sorts of, for want of a better phrase, more entry-level, more accessible performance cars. Mm-hmm. It's less about the power and more about the drive.
Mm-hmm.
So a Golf GTI in particular is a phenomenal car in its ability to deliver a really engaging drive when you need it to, and you don't need to drive fast, you don't need to push it hard, you don't need to endanger anybody. You just need to find a nice road with some good corners. You just need to drive it mildly, and it will deliver a very good drive when you want it to. So I think also there's very much a case with all these cars of one-upmanship. You know, no one needs, you know, 400 kilowatts in 1,000 meters.
Sure.
But the fact that they can say to their neighbors, I've got this car, it's got this much power, that says a lot for someone, especially in a country that is so, you know, the South Africans live a lot to their cars. You know, a car says a lot about them, and they, you know, it's kind of time.
Yeah,
the personality and the ego is tied very much to their cars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the power is one thing, but I think in the case of a GTI Club Sport, it is very much about the ability to access power and still have a good drive without kind of going crazy.
Yeah, just looking at some visuals right now, beautiful car, really lovely design and interior as well.
Yeah.
So if that's anything to go by. But of course, we are incredibly brand loyal as South African motorists. So no doubt South Africans will be watching eagerly and waiting for it to drop.
Yeah, there was also some conversation. I was involved in a conversation on Twitter this week with a bunch of other motoring types. You know, one of people said, well, don't get excited because Volkswagen said it's not coming to South Africa because of our fuel grade. But, you know, Volkswagen are, in my opinion, are famous for saying that whenever something like this drops, you know, with the previous generation Club Sport, with the GTI TCR that's just arrived in South Africa, whenever these things show up internationally, Volkswagen South Africa is famous for saying, look, we've got no plans for introducing it here. We've got no plans to bring it here. They don't always give a reason, but this time around they've said there's a fuel concern because our fuel doesn't reach the international emissions levels. But you know, the cars always arrive. So it's just a matter of when it's going to arrive rather than if it will arrive. I'm 100% certain that the Golf 8 GTI Club Sport will arrive in South Africa at some point.
All right. On that confident note, let's talk the cars.co.za consumer awards. And the finalists have been announced. Talk to me about these awards, because, you know, these are the finalists for 2020 to 2021. Quite a touchy time to be having an awards type ceremony, specifically because, you know, we're not necessarily in a position as South Africans to even be looking to buy more, or, you know, go out there and acquire, you know, another thing that needs to be paid off, especially via debt. But interesting proposition. Tell me about them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's been tough here for everybody, but by the same token, you know, it's very difficult for a lot of people in this country to get by without a car.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's the corollary to that argument. But the Consumer Award, the Cars.co.za Consumer Awards, are an interesting award because there's two major awards for cars in this country. One is the Guild of Motoring Journalists Car of the Year Award. The other is the Cars.co.za Consumer Awards. And arguably, these consumer awards are a little bit more relevant to South Africans because they take into account, first of all, what South Africans are buying. And they're based on what, you know, the cars that South Africans are buying. So, for example, this year they've added two categories. They've added an entry-level category, and a premium crossover category, because the data has shown that that's what South Africans are buying more of. And that's the one side of it. The other side of it is, whereas the Guild of Motoring Journalists Car of the Year Award is solely judged in a very complicated way with weighting systems and all kinds of formulas by motoring journalists, the Cars.co.za Consumer Awards are judged by a panel of motoring experts from Cars.co.za.
Okay.
But as well as that, they take a whole lot of data from, it's basically feedback from thousands of vehicle owners who actually own these cars. So, for example, if a BMW 3 Series is nominated, they will look at data. They will put out a ownership satisfaction survey to 3 Series owners, and they will take into account all that data of the ownership experience of those BMW drivers, and those scores go towards awarding the titles as well. So it is very much focused on what South Africans are doing, what South Africans are buying, and how much they're enjoying what they're buying. So it is arguably still very relevant, even in you know, the year we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And just taking a look at the various categories, as you mentioned, entry level, there's budget car there with Suzuki in two spots there, compact hatch and a compact family car. That's, I guess, a key South African one.
Yeah.
There's the family car as well. And then an adventure SUV and an executive SUV. Pretty interesting. Yeah, I guess the full range of our tastes and our interests.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Suzuki, the interesting Suzuki, who's done traditionally pretty well at the Consumer Awards, they've got five finalists through all the categories, and so had Toyota. So some manufacturers doing pretty well, being represented pretty well. And the nice thing as well is that for this year, Citroen, Honda, Suzuki, Land Rover, and Subaru are also new entrants for this year. They weren't part of the awards team last year. They have finalists the awards this year.
Yeah. What do you think Citroen, for instance, has finally gotten right? You're saying their new entrants this year. I've always, just from, and not from having done any real deep research, but at any point when I was looking for a car, I'd always shy away from, you know, those cars specifically with, you know, the view that parts, time, you know, parts, services, a little bit more expensive. Is that even warranted still? Is that a real concern still?
They do. Look, that is still a, I mean, it is traditionally a concern that, what it was particularly about French cars that, mm-hmm. that people shied away from, but there was very much a concern about servicing and parts, as you say. But I think that's by and large, I hesitate to say it's not true anymore, but I also hesitate to say that it's only true of those brands. I think there's a lot of brands with a similar problem. But as you say, in this country, we're incredibly brand loyal. And the thing about Citroën, I think what they've got right is that, they've arrived back in the country after a 3-year break, I think, with options that are, incredibly tempting. The car that they've got nominated is the C5, which is it's a compact SUV crossover type. It's the C5 Aircross. And it's a really good package. It's a really nice looking car. It drives incredibly well. It's something different, and it still offers value. It's not outlandishly priced. It's not kind of the same price as anything else, but with fewer spec, it's a very nicely spec car, and I would say it drives very well. So I think from a motoring journalist point of view, they would look at that car and go, that's a good proposition. But from a consumer point of view, they still have to contend with the fears of, is it going to be expensive to service, or is it going to have expensive parts, et cetera, which, as I say, I'm not 100% sure is the case anymore.
Yeah. And finally, just before we wrap on our conversation regarding the cars.co.za awards, the premium SUV is always quite an interesting vehicle, an interesting category for me. How does it fare and how does it do in South Africa? They seem to abound on the roads, but are you ready after an executive SUV getting the same bang for your buck? What are you actually doing with that vehicle? I guess I'm asking that question.
the premium SUV, South Africans love an SUV, and if you look at the brands involved, the BMW, the X5, I mean, there's you just have to look at how many are on the road to know that's an incredibly popular car. But I think that, it comes down to, some of it comes down to the fact that you can say to your neighbors that you drive a BMW X5 or a Land Rover Defender or, the other contenders, the Volvo XC90. So, yes, they offer bang for buck? Yes, they do. I mean, look, they're a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the question is, do we want them or versus can we afford them? And I think those are two different questions. As vehicle propositions, are they worthwhile? Yes, absolutely. I spent some time with an XC90 not so long ago. It's a phenomenal car. Mm-hmm. It really is a good car, and as well as the X5. The one that's in line for a title is the X-Drive 30D. I drove the slightly bigger X-Drive 50D, which is a V8 motor. But even so, they do offer a lot for your money. I mean, you're spending over a million rand for these cars, but they do offer a lot in terms of value. There's not a lot these cars don't have.
Yeah, and I guess part of the reason for asking that is wondering if people that buy them ever unlock the full potential of that vehicle. Which is to use it in slightly more rugged terrain. I saw a Levant on the road, a Maserati Levant on the road earlier this week, and I was like, my goodness, I'm not sure how I'd go about my daily life driving this. I'd probably be that person parking it far away from every other vehicle in the parking lot because I'm so worried about my baby.
Yeah, and it's that's not only true of SUVs. It's true of a lot of sports cars that you see on the road. It's one thing to own these cars and drive them through traffic every day, but very few people, unfortunately, will unlock the full potential or even anywhere near the full potential of these cars. Mm. For example, getting back to the executive SUV, one of the contenders is the Range Rover Evoque. And, I know from experience that a Range Rover Evoque is actually very capable of road. I've driven it through some pretty hectic terrain in Botswana, and, it manages perfectly well. It's not going to go everywhere you want to go, but certainly we drove it in the kinds of conditions that I reckon no Range Rover Evoque driver will ever put their Range Rover Evoque, because it is, as you say, it's their baby. Yeah. They're not going to subject it to that kind of treatment. Just to see if they can go through a marsh or up a dune, they're going to keep the town and park it far away and keep it clean. So it is a sadness for me that these cars are on the roads, but they're not being used to their full potential.
Oh, anyway, got to maintain that pristine paint job, if nothing else. Now, Spike, what then I want to ask, what I want to do now is just to pivot on over and have a chat about the Volkswagen Caddy, which you mentioned a couple of weeks ago is a car that you quite like. And I was surprised by that. Tell me how. Tell me about it, since you're now giving us a full review.
Yeah, so the Volkswagen Caddy is essentially a van. You know, that's it's got other categories or categorizations, but it is essentially a van. Mm-hmm. It's got two sliding doors at the rear on either side. It's got a huge rear tailgate. And it is, by and large, a car designed to carry loads of things. But the Caddy that I drove was the relatively new 1 liter TSI Trendline. So it's a consumer facing car. It's not designed to pack boxes. It has got space for five, and it's finished in a nice paint job, and it's got 16 inch wheels. And it's just something about, you know, any car that delivers more than you expect that I really appreciate. And I think the Caddy is one of those cars. I think it's very easy to look at it and dismiss it as just a van, and just a car that you might own, you know, if you run a company or want to deliver some packages. You know, and it actually delivers a very enjoyable driving experience. So I think that kind of underpins my enjoyment of the Caddy.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the fact that it delivers more than you expected. Talk to us about that driving experience and how it surpassed your expectations.
Yeah, so it just let's start with the motor. It's a 1 liter three cylinder turbo, 75 kilowatts, 175 newton meters. 5-speed manual gearbox. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's not hugely powerful. It's got a regular 5-speed manual gearbox, but the driving experience very much is like a regular car. It doesn't feel big. It doesn't feel heavy.
Sure.
It doesn't feel cumbersome or utilitarian. It's just a very easygoing, very easy to live with car. And that 1 liter motor in particular is a good motor no matter what Volkswagen put it in. Because it is very easy to use. It doesn't feel underpowered ever. It's very sprightly. It's responsive. And I think that goes a long way to the driving enjoyment. But as I say, one of the other part of that is the fact that it is so easy to live with. Despite being a slightly bigger car,
uh-huh,
and despite having this label of a van, it is actually, it drives like a regular Volkswagen, which is quite surprising and very enjoyable.
Yeah, and I guess after I've sort of thrown down my suspicions or my biases, that the design is really, it is quite lovely. And talk to me about the price point as well, which seems incredibly reasonable.
Yeah, it is pretty much what you'd expect to pay around that price point. And I think for what you're paying, you are getting good value. So I think as an option, it is it's not a bad option at all in its price range.
All right, fantastic stuff. Spike Ballantyne, thank you so much for your time this morning. Look forward to our next conversation and finding out what in the world you have been joyriding all over town in.
Marvelous. Thanks for feeling with us.
We'll do that. Spike Ballantyne, car enthusiast as well as host of Eat, Sleep, Drive, Repeat, the podcast. 726.